All right, everybody, I'd like to invite you to sit down for our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase, Vancouver, in association with Small Cap Discoveries. Now presenting is Richard Kellam from Data Communications Management.
Thank you, Robert.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to take you through. I'm going to try to speed through this so we can get into Q&A. I joined Data Communications Management about 3.5 years ago after a career in packaged goods. Worked for Mars Incorporated for most of my career and did a bunch of different things, ran different business units in different parts of the world. And I actually got connected to Data Communications Management, DCM, when I was in a bit of a step down. I was thinking about maybe just retiring and consulting, and that lasted about a week. They called me up and said, "We need some help over here at DCM." So I actually consulted for DCM for about 4 or 5 months, and through that consulting gig, they said, "Look, would you be interested in running the company?" And I love what I saw, thought there was a great opportunity. I invested personally in the company as well, and we've been on a great journey for the last 3.5 years. And I'm going to take you through that journey today, and please fire away with any questions. Again, I'll try to speed through it pretty quickly. Of course, I'm going to give you some forward-looking statements, so please take that into consideration. Okay. So a little bit about us here at Data Communications. I think I see some familiar faces in the room, so some already know our story, so I won't get into it in a lot of detail. But we essentially help large, highly complex enterprise customers or clients simplify their communication workflow. So think of large banks or large manufacturing companies or large retailers. We help them simplify that communication workflow. Founded in 1959, you can see our market cap, and I already talked about myself. I've been here for 3.5 years, better part of 3.5 years. Little DCM at a glance, maybe a little bigger than some of the companies that are here presenting this week, but we've got just under 1,700 employees. 400 enterprise clients represent about 93% of revenue. So we love the more complex a customer, the more value we can add to that customer. I'll get into those details in a little bit. Our revenue last year is about $473 million, and we'll talk a little bit of detail, and you can see we've got good profitability and cash flow. Okay? So what we do, we provide, we call it tech-enabled marketing workflow solutions. So a lot of the work that we do for clients is enabled with technology. It may end up as a printed product, but there's technology that enables that workflow. We do a lot of personalized communication, so I'm sure everybody gets personalized direct mail to their homes here. If you get a personalized direct mail from a not-for-profit, looking for, looking to raise some funding, if you get a personalized mail from a bank that says, "Look, you're pre-authorized for X number of dollars for this new credit card," we do a ton of that personalized direct mail, personalized communication. It's a big part of our workflow. Business process outsourcing. So if you're a quick-service restaurant like a Wendy's or a Burger King that's got a couple thousand restaurants across Canada, anything in that restaurant, we need to kit and fulfill and manage the communication through to the restaurant, as an example. Or if you're a bank and you've got 1,000 or a couple thousand branches across Canada, we would have the physical attributes of all those branches and manage the work into those branches, as an example. So a lot of business process outsourcing, and then a lot of work in marketing solutions as well. We're the second largest print and marketing communications company in Canada. The largest is Transcontinental. They're about just north of $2 billion. But about half of their business is packaging, which we don't do a lot of packaging, and half of their business would be more in our area of competition. As I said, we have 400 enterprise clients. There's not a single client that's more than 5% of revenue. So we've got a lot of diversification across our client base. And we also have a lot of diversification across verticals. the FI vertical or financial vertical is about 25% of revenue. That would be our largest. And then we do quite a lot in retail, in healthcare, in transportation, in lotto, in automotive. So really kind of multiple vertical penetration. I'm sure we've got a lot of people that are Aeroplan members here. We manage the entire Aeroplan program. We print the boarding passes for Air Canada. We print the luggage tags for Air Canada. So it sounds simple, but Air Canada flies to 285 destinations around the world. We need to manage that entire workflow. So as an example, a lot of diversity in clients, a lot of diversity in verticals, a lot of diversity in workflow. But coming all back to our main value promise or our unique selling proposition in the marketplace is we help clients simplify complexity. And there's a lot of complexity in all of these clients. We like to say we like to eat complexity for breakfast, and the more complex a client, the more value we can add. Okay. Which I'll talk about in a couple of minutes as well. Key market trends, which actually play well. A lot of people think print is dead. Print is not dead. It's a very healthy market, and if you know how to play in it, and you know where the margin pools are, you can deliver a healthy business. A lot of hyper-personalization. Just clients or customers know a lot about everybody in this room, and they're using that to be able to hyper-market or personalize that marketing. And of course, the more personal you can be in communication, the higher the conversion rate. So lots of focus on personalization, whether it's a printed product or a digital product. A lot of complexity in workflows. That example I gave you of understanding the physical attributes of every single branch used to be that you'd create maybe one or two or three kits and you ship them to 2,000 branches. You'd have A type, B type, C type of stores, or A type, B type, C types of branches. Now, with technology, you can map the physical attributes of every single store, and whatever communication you send to a store or send to a branch or send to a QSR is optimized for that location. And that's all managed with, we call a platform called OptiChannel. A lot of outsourcing and non-core functions. Large enterprises that may have been working with six or seven or eight different providers, consolidating that to one because they want to minimize or take back office staff out. That's happening in the industry. So we're seeing obviously advantages a larger player like ours. Lots of data flow and thinking the sheer amount of data that's in our workflow in today's world and how to use that data effectively, especially around hyper-personalization. Lots of growth in MarTech. I'll come to that in a couple of minutes. We've got a great MarTech stack that helps our clients with that workflow and a couple of key SaaS opportunities as well. And then, industry consolidation. We were a consolidator. I'll talk about the acquisition of our largest competitor, and there's lots more consolidation opportunities in the marketplace. So good kind of healthy future from a market perspective. Market's large, $10 billion market in Canada. 95% of our business is in Canada, where we play to our strengths. And you can see that we're, roughly a half of a 5%, rather, about a $500 million, just north of $500 million of that $10 billion market. So lots to play for in this market without even thinking about looking south. I think several in the room knew we did a transformational acquisition in April 2023, so about kind of a year and a few months ago. Doubled our revenue. We paid $100 million for it. We financed 100% of it. And if you read our announcement, it says we paid $130 million or $134 million with some working capital adjustments. But $30 million was real estate. We ended up selling the real estate for $38 million. And so we looked nice little turn of profit in a very short time. And you'll see in a minute how we've deleveraged very quickly. So sizable acquisitions. We originally, when we did the deal, put a number to the street of $25 million-$30 million in synergies. We since upped those to $30 million-$35 million. We found even more opportunities once we got into the details. And they're coming across four areas: operational, organization, and procurement. and revenue, actually the 30 to 35 are all in these three areas. Okay, and we call those hard synergies versus soft synergies. So closure of facilities, reduction in headcount, and improving our purchasing power. So those are all hard synergies. On the operational side, sorry, let me back up 1 second. We also committed to deliver 30 to 35 million synergies and have all this work done by about mid-2025. It almost all the work will be done by the end of 2024. So we're actually ahead of target and ahead of schedule. We're closing four factories, two are already closed, and we'll be sweeping the floors in the other two in the next month or two. So good progress in terms of operational consolidation. We're actually be building the perfect footprint for the future, much more profitable footprint and a perfect footprint to allow us to grow off of. So we've invested in some new capital as well. Organizational consolidation is just essentially SG&A consolidation, bringing, you know, we don't need two sales teams, two HR teams, two finance teams. Most of that work is complete. Probably the hardest bit of work was bringing the sales teams together because you've got, you know, 400 clients. You now need to move into a smaller team and move books of business around. But that work is all complete. And then procurement, as I said, that's all about scale. So some real good work in terms of delivering synergies. The debt, we financed 100% debt with debt when we acquired Moore Canada Corp. You can see our debt on the 24th of April went to 145 million. And you can see here we're down to 75.1 million. And some good healthy cash flows in this business, especially once all our restructuring is complete. So we'll see that debt continue to reduce significantly. But I think last quarter we were about 1.7 times leverage. We see a path to easily, you know, one and below one. Financial performance, revenue post the acquisition in 2023, 447. Gross profit obviously up considerably. Adjusted EBITDA up considerably. And this is an important one because there's an important story I want to tell shareholders that at DCM Legacy, because of the value we were bringing to clients, we priced to value, right? We priced to value, right? Remember I said the more complexity a client has, we can extract value from that. So DCM Legacy, prior to acquisition, margin was 31% on the final quarter pre-acquisition, up from 22 5 years ago. So went from 22 to 31. We acquired a company, and that's what we quite liked about Moore Canada Corp, that was a much lower margin. So we saw opportunities for value creation from a margin standpoint. They were a 20% margin business. So DCM Legacy, 31% margin. MCC Legacy, 20% margin. Blended margins, 25. Simple math, right? Blended margins, 25. And we've been on a path to get this margin, obviously, back to our normalized or back to our historical margin of 30. And we've got a very clear, we call it strategic revenue management program. So really kind of understanding where we can create more margin for the value we bring to clients. And you see the progress we're on here with 27.3 in quarter two, 2024, versus same quarter a year ago. We're already up, you know, 0.8 of a point. And we've got a clear path to return to 30. So we've always said we would rather have a $525 million business at 30% margin than a $550 million business at 22% margin, right? So we've done a lot of work really kind of understanding our client base, understanding the mix of product and the opportunities for strategic revenue management, right? So you'll see we have a clear path back to 30 and you'll see that play through over time. So a lot of kind of heavy lifting and good work. I like to say to my team, gross margin is your best friend, right? And certainly we're well on track to get that back north of 30. Revenue per associates improved quite considerably. Some more opportunities there, but you can see we're just north of 300,000 per associates and we're down to 1673 and you'll see that come down as we close two more facilities. So what's next? Our strategies for this year are very clear. We've been very focused on MCC integration and gross profit improvement. Those are kind of our key priorities for 2024. certainly growing our business and lots of work on expanding to new verticals and digital acceleration. Maybe I'll just pause on that a second. We've just launched a new digital platform called Assemble. It plays in the digital asset management space. I'm sure you know many shareholders here or many participants here today are familiar with MediaValet's story. We just launched a competitor product to MediaValet, and you can have a look at it. It's asmbl.ai, and we've literally just gone to market with it, and it's an incredible product. We've spent the last year and a half building it. So lots of opportunities on digital acceleration as we exit this year and into next year. And then, of course, we're focused on driving free cash flow. So building a better business first and then a bigger business over time as well. That's been our key strategy. M&A, you know, lots of consolidation opportunities in the marketplace. These are kind of the three pillars for M&A. One is high-value print, so not print at any expense, but opportunities where we, you know, some of those high-margin areas like the hyper-personalized print as an example. There's some smaller players out there that could be quite interesting. Marketing services that would be complementary, and then any other technology solutions. But technology, we always look at the cost to buy versus the cost to build, hence the building of Assemble.ai, way more economical for us to build that platform. And we've now believe we have a better product than most competitors in the marketplace, and we've got the perfect route to market. We've got 64 frontline salespeople and 400 enterprise clients to sell our digital solutions to. Investment highlights, real quickly, capitalization and ownership. You can see that our shares are about 60 million shares outstanding. Current market cap, 176 mil. Enterprise value, 250. A lot of ownership inside. You know, myself and other directors and officers. These are associates. We've got an ESOP program. We have a strategic owner here called KST, his family office, KST Industries. And then we have a mix of institution and retail shareholders on that 62. So a lot of kind of inside, a lot of reasons to care from the inside owners. So investment highlights, really leading position in Canadian marketplace. Obviously, very focused on profit at this point, not growth at the expense of profit, so profitable growth, and we'll be relentlessly committed to that over time. Track record of reduction in debt quickly. Obviously, we know how to integrate, and we've proven that out. So this is a perfect platform to grow off as we move forward through integration and M&A. And then we have a very experienced leadership team. I'm new to the team after 3.5 years, but obviously run a lot of different business units. But we've got a lot of experienced people in the industry that are on my team, and lots of diversity on the team as well. And that is it. So over to Q&A.
Yes. One second. Let me give you the mic so the people online can hear the questions.
Thank you. What are run rate gross margins and EBITDA as you kind of scale towards full capacity after closing these two plants that are going to be closing, and as volumes continue to grow? Like, what are run rate EBITDA and gross margins?
Minimum 30 on margin. We've committed to that, and minimum 14% EBITDA. Yeah. We've guided to 30% gross margin and 14%. EBITDA and 5% growth over 5 years from a CAGR standpoint, once we get all the integration complete, right? Other questions? Okay. Oh, okay.
One more question.
We have one more back here. Yeah. I got to get two questions at least, right?
Hi. I was just curious, you know, the integration is obviously the thing you're focused on right now. Beyond that, where do you see the next 5 years of your story playing out? Are you planning to expand internationally or into other verticals? Or how do you see growth or, let's say, the next phase of the company where you can double revenue?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as we exit 2024, as I said earlier, all of our integration is complete. 2025 is going to be a very nice, clean year. and we built a perfect platform to grow off of. So our focus is going to be on organic growth, and then we're certainly going to be looking at some future M&A, but we want to get back to positive organic growth. Lots of opportunities with existing clients, you know, expansion revenue, we call it, and then lots of, it's still a sizable market. Until we have 100% of enterprise clients, we won't be, right, we won't rest. And your question about geography, we are going to continue to focus on the Canadian marketplace. It's our strength. We know it well. The competitive set is totally different south of the border. We do some work south of the border where we have large clients that have operations in the U.S. that want us to help them. And we actually have a facility in Chicago that supports one of our large Canadian banks that has operations in the U.S. And there's some other opportunities there to expand through clients south the border, but it will not be a big focus area for us. We see huge opportunities in the Canadian marketplace. Play to our strengths. Okay.
On the M&A front, I know there's a lot of targets in Canada that you can buy. Given where the valuation of the stock's trading, do you still feel like you can buy accretively? Say there's 60 plus targets in Canada. Can you buy accretively, kind of looking at that landscape?
Yeah, no, I think so. You're right. We get calls every week from smaller companies that are looking to be acquired or looking to be part of a bigger platform. And the valuations are pretty good on those smaller companies. You know, the premium's not too significant. We think there's opportunities. Obviously, we like to see our share price, our currency a little higher, but you know, I think the markets will play through as we continue to deliver on what we've promised. Right?
Okay. And then just follow up on the organic growth. I mean, once MCC is fully integrated, is this business kind of a GDP plus, one or two, or do you think you can accelerate that growth into next year once everything's all, you know, all sort of integrated, just organic growth, just sort of a little more detail on that?
Yeah, organic, we're still committed to a 5% organic growth over 5 years. We can see that. We can see 5%. You know, some of the profit pools that I talked about, some of the areas that we play in are actually growing at that level and maybe even some a little higher. So there's good tailwinds in the industry. There's a couple of headwinds, like transactional mail, you know, stuff that you get, a statement from your bank. That's certainly declining 6-8%. Although interestingly enough, you know, one large utility company we work with, still 50% of their statements are paper statements. Thankfully we're not too exposed to that area, but the personalized direct mail, I'm sure you have examples, you know, you probably see more of it coming to your houses right now. So there's definitely some opportunities in the marketplace where we see natural tailwinds that we can play to. And physical retail is still very important, by the way. You know, you think everybody thought that there would be no bricks and mortar, that physical retail would shut down, but you're seeing a lot opening. You're seeing a lot of new restaurants opening and QSRs opening, and that's all, you know, they all need our services.
And one last question for me, MarTech, which is growing really quickly. That's the sort of sizzle, I guess, the high margin. What percentage of revenue does that make up today? And where do you see that going?
Well, it's to be honest, it's insignificant for us today, but our plan is to have it to be much more significant over time. And we're making a big bet on the digital asset management, our digital asset management platform. That's a $6 billion category. And there are less than 10% of our enterprise clients that actually have anything that resembles a DAM. You still got a lot of clients using SharePoint, Google Drives, their own hard drives, and it's a real problem just with the sheer number of files that are being created to be able to find them and share them. And so we're quite optimistic with that. And we've built a great product. We've got a good plan. So.
But any sort of internal targets, like you want to get to maybe 20% of revenue could be for MarTech, is that realistic?
Oh, we've got some targets. I'm not going to tell you where they are today, but we've got targets for sure.
So much larger. Thanks.
Okay. So looks like we're getting called on time, but thank you for the opportunity to talk to everybody today. Appreciate it.